From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. The federal shutdown didn't halt the start of several federal fisheries this month, but it has caused some problems, especially for fishermen wanting mandatory permits and inspections. Just one person applied for the position of commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Spoiler alert, it is the person currently at the top of the ADF&G as acting commissioner. Speaking of ADF&G commissioners, a former head of the department was recently named CEO of Sitka-based Silver Bay Seafoods. And that good old school lunch staple, fish sticks, is more likely to be Alaska pollock now that a federal loophole has been fixed, which allowed Russian pollock processed in China to be served to American students. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Alaska's cod and crab fisheries got underway in the Bering Sea and Gulf of Alaska with few problems reported from the government shutdown.
I haven't heard of any problems, but that's not to say that there aren't any.
Forrest Bowers is the acting director of Alaska's Commercial Fisheries Division. The shutdown has furloughed about 800,000 workers nationwide, most with no pay, including fishery oversight and research jobs. That means there's no one to issue permits and licenses or other documents and services that are needed by the fleet before setting out to fish. Federal fisheries researchers are off the job during the shutdown, and Bauer says that could have impacts down the road. Alaska state-managed fisheries intertwine closely with the federal ones, notably with the co-management of Bering Sea Crab.
The state sets the total allowable catch, and we handle the in-season management of the fishery, so all the vessel registration, the observer coverage, harvest tracking.
While it appears the crab boats were able to get their paperwork in order, there were some problems. The Pacific cod fishery also could run into problems for freezer longliners, Bowers said, with scale inspections or other unavailable services from the continuing shutdown. Pollock, flatfish, and other groundfish will be open for trawlers in the Bering Sea and the Gulf of Alaska on January 20th, and that could bring its own set of shutdown impacts. For now, things are proceeding on schedule, but Bauer said there is a mood of concern about a shutdown with no end in sight.
I think there's some uncertainty right now about what's going to happen, and you know, fortunately, we have a pretty sophisticated group of folks in the fishing industry in Alaska who are very professional and know how to do their jobs, and that helps a lot when they have a good working relationship with the managers.
Forrest Bowers is a 13-year veteran at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Federal fisheries in Alaska have either opened or are expected to open as planned this month, whether the border wall standoff continues or not. Fishing in the Bering Sea off Alaska's coast is some of the most lucrative in the world, with some boats catching millions of dollars worth of fish in a single trip, which is why it is a really big deal if the industry is disrupted by the government shutdown. As Forrest Bowers said in the previous story, the Pacific cod fishery and others that require scale inspections or special services could run into problems. And, as Nat Hers with Alaska's Energy Desk reports, some boats could still be lacking permits and inspections, and they need to have those before they can leave the docks.
Brent Payne runs a trade group of boats that fish for pollock and cod in the Bering Sea. Their season doesn't open until later in January. But as that date draws nearer, he says his members are going to start getting pretty nervous.
Yeah. If you call me next week and we're still in the same situation, I think the anxiety level will be up quite a bit.
The fight between President Trump and Congress over money to build a border wall is happening 4,000 miles away from the Bering Sea. But the fisheries off Alaska's coast are still deeply intertwined with the federal government. It's the National Marine Fisheries Service that trains and debriefs the observers that ride along on boats to collect data on the fish being caught. The Fisheries Service also issues certain kinds of permits and certifies scales that weigh fish. And then the Coast Guard does its own inspections. A lot of that stuff isn't happening right now because of the government shutdown. The biggest fishery in the Bering Sea is pollock, which is used in products like fish sticks and McDonald's Filet-O-Fish sandwiches. The pollock season doesn't start until January 20th. But at least one boat is already in a tight spot. The 180-foot Baranof has 28 crew members that have flown out to Dutch Harbor in the Aleutian Islands. They were supposed to start fishing for crab on New Year's Day. But first, it needs a scale to be inspected by the Fisheries Service. Chad C. runs a trade group that the boat's owners belong to.
And so now he's waiting at the dock in Dutch Harbor until the shutdown ends and he can start fishing. At the end of the day, that's about a $500,000 in revenue that's at stake for that particular company if he can't get out into that fishery.
Doug Wells, an official at the company that owns the boat, didn't want to be recorded, but he says it's infuriating that the crew members are being stopped from fishing by, quote, a bunch of politicians. He and other industry representatives say they're working closely with federal agencies and Alaska's congressional delegation to resolve their problems. But ultimately, it's Trump and Congress that have the power to end the standoff. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Only one person applied for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commissioner's job, and it's the same person who's holding that position right now as acting commissioner. Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has more.
Doug Vincent Lange was selected as acting commissioner in early December by incoming Governor Mike Dunleavy. The governor said he wanted someone on the job while the Joint Board of Fish and Game compiled a list of other potential applicants. State law requires that a new governor must select a commissioner from nominees suggested by the board. The Joint Board will fulfill that statutory obligation on the evening of January 16th in Anchorage. It will be a quick meeting, says Glenn Haight, board's support director.
For this particular year, we have one applicant, Doug Vincent Lange, so a fairly simple task for the joint board to go through this process.
Vincent Lange was the only applicant to apply by the December 14th deadline. He was a former director of the division's wildlife department and assistant director of the sportfish division in the early 2000s.
And it's up to the individuals to apply, so anyone could have applied. Sometimes in the past, there's been more than 10 names that have come in, sometimes maybe just five or so.
The commissioner must be approved by the Alaska legislature at the end of its upcoming session. Haight says the boards are taking advantage of logistics for the special meeting.
The Board of Fish is already meeting in Anchorage, and the Board of Game will be coming back from its southeast meeting from Petersburg and flying through Anchorage, and so we just thought it would be an opportune time.
From January 15th to 19th, the Board of Fisheries is taking up over 60 proposals focusing on Arctic, Yukon, Kuskokwim fishery issues.
That was Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
Speaking of Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commissioners, former Commissioner Cora Campbell has been named CEO of Sitka-based Silver Bay Seafoods as of January 1st. Campbell has held the title of Chief External Affairs Officer for Silver Bay since June. She was Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game under Governor Sean Parnell from 2010 to 2014.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
And finally this week, the farm bill that Congress passed recently will be known for many things. It increases subsidies for farmers and legalizes industrial hemp. But for Alaska, the biggest impact might be what the bill does for fish fingers served in school lunchrooms across America. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin explains.
The National School Lunch Program has for decades required school districts to buy American-made food. But Senator Dan Sullivan says that doesn't always happen when it comes to fish.
There was a major loophole, that allowed, for example, Russian-caught pollock processed in China with phosphates sent back to the United States for purchase in the U.S. school lunch program.
Let me break that down. Rather than buy fish sticks made of Alaska pollock, many school districts buy fish caught in Russian waters that are frozen, sent to China, thawed, chopped up, plumped up with additives, refrozen, and sent to the U.S. And it qualifies for a product of USA label because it's battered and breaded here. Aside from being bad for Alaska's fishing industry, Sullivan says the twice-frozen Russian pollock is bad seafood, and kids won't like fish day at school.
Literally turns a generation of kids in America off of seafood when they have this and as fish sticks.
Alaska pollock producers have been working on this problem for years. Jim Gilmore of the ATSI Processors Association says up to half of the pollock served in schools now is from Russia. Gilmore credits Sullivan for getting a provision in the farm bill that closes the school lunch loophole.
We wanted it to be unambiguous, absolutely clear that product has to be U.S. harvested seafood in order to qualify for food purchases for school when you're using federal dollars.
Gilmore says an exception remains allowing school districts to buy foreign product if it's substantially cheaper.
So schools will still have that opportunity if we can't be competitive on price, but we're confident we can be competitive on price.
The pollock producers didn't fight this battle alone. They joined forces with American producers of applesauce, canned peaches, and dozens of other stalwarts of the school lunch tray. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Robert Woolsey at KCAW in Sitka, Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk, and Liz Ruskin, the Washington, D.C. correspondent for Alaska Public Media. We also had help from Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio. Thanks to everyone who helps put our program together and makes it possible. Remember to stay safe fishing. For KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.